think his family was his main interest in all.
Right. Four children.
Four children.
Two boys and two girls.
Two girls and two boys. I'm the oldest.
You're the oldest.
Mm-hmm.
I see.
Peggy, Ruth, Frank, David. By the way, I tried to get Frank to come down for Thursday, and he can't come either.
Oh,
and Ruth can't come, so.
Ruth can't come? That's too bad.
No.
But she you'll be there.
Oh, yes.
Good. Good. You see, a lot of people, I don't know how many people are going to be there, but the people from the university, I think very few of them really knew him as an individual.
Yeah.
I want to bring that out.
Well, I don't know who did. I guess Jack Marburger did.
See, when did he die?
77.
77. That was before Jack came.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. Right. Just before Johnny left.
Where did he go?
He went back to Maryland.
Oh, yes, that's right.
He had come from there as he was head of the physics department, chairman of the physics department. And he went back as chancellor of the university system. Hmm. Well, tell me about your father.
Well, I can't think what to tell you. I mean, he moved out here after David was so sick. I mean, he stayed out all year round. In fact, they all three were sick, and my mother too. And he commuted for 20, 30 years.
Back and forth.
Back and forth.
This was country.
Oh, yes.
This was going to the country.
Well, we owned Widewater anyway. We used to spend the summer here. Before we owned Widewater, we spent half the summer with Grandmother Melville and the other half with Grandmother Bigelow, just to get us out of the city. And then after we bought Widewater, we used to come back and forth in the fall and spring. But then after 27, we stayed out year round, because the others had all been so sick. We were going to stay only till November, but by that time we'd have to put in a new furnace and I don't know what all, and so we just stayed. We started the Oldfield School.
The Oldfield School?
Oldfield Country Day School. It's now that playgroup's place,
oh, yes.
You know?
Near the club?
Yes, right, yes. Near the club.
Yes.
In fact, the first year of the school, we went to school in the clubhouse, and then they built the schoolhouse.
Remember what year that was? Was that before the incorporation of the village?
I don't remember when that was.
I think it was 29.
But the school and the club are not in the village. I climbed around the rafters with my grandfather when they were building the clubhouse. And that would have been 26 or 7, I suppose. I went to fifth grade in the men's locker room. That first year.
Then you're not too far away from the scenes of your childhood.
No. I'm so glad now that Jim's decided to come back here. He'd been away from Charlottesville too long. He didn't feel even though he had lots of cousins and people there. But he has cousins, brother and sister don't speak, and, you know, it goes on and on. Mm-hmm. And now that he's died, I'm glad I'm here, not down there amongst the fighting cousins. We used to go down and visit, but...
That was Virginia?
Mm-hmm. Where the university is.
Charlottesville?
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
UVA. But his children are both here in the East, and my family's all here in the East and Northeast, and except, well, David now is in the Bahamas, but the rest of them are all up here. And it didn't make sense for us to live in Charlottesville.
No. Okay. That's a lovely, lovely place. And so much, not so much history behind it.
Mm-hmm. When Alexander Hamilton's son got married, her father started Widewater for them.
Whose father?
The girl that Alexander Hamilton's son married.
Oh, I see.
I've forgotten what her name was, but
that
it was just what's now kind of the big living room at Widewater. And when we got it, it had a center chimney. It had been four rooms. And when Dad decided that was sort of silly, because there were four open fireplace things in the middle of a room, he wanted to move it over to the side. And that started, by this time, everybody who'd owned it had added another floor, another something. And the whole house started falling in on him. I mean, three floors in the attic. So there's a steel beam going across the ceiling there to hold it up. That was in 24, I guess, we bought Blackwater. Something like that. But he used to ride with us, even though he was not athletic. He's been, well, he had trouble with his eyes all his life, but he was blind in one eye from about the time I was born. But he hunted with us, and he never could play he played golf, sort of, but he never could play tennis or anything because his eyesight wasn't good enough.
Well, he must have, had a vision or a faculty for foresight and a conception of what he would like to see this place be. In other words, the three village area.
Well, he was interested in history, and that's why he chose to restore the village to sort of, what's it called, early Republican or early something, period architecture.
Georgian?
No, it's not as old as that.
No.
I don't know what it's called, but the village before, you know, the gas station had multicolored lights all around the top of it. It was sort of Spanish looking, and the village was a mess. But he enjoyed restoring it or whatever, really rebuilding it.
Where did he get his interest in history? Was he a history major in college?
I don't think so. I think he was just an English major. I don't know. But actually, his father had wanted to do something like that in Port Jefferson, and they wouldn't hear of it. So after he died, Dad and his mother decided to do Stony Brook. Mm-hmm.
How did he get the people to agree? Must have...
He attached himself to each one of them. And there was a man who lived all along there where the fish is, but by the bank, named Castanes. I think he was a Frenchman. And he made a model of what the village would be like. And I remember we had some dark black cardboard things with holes in them, and we would look at it, and that would give us the right sort of perspective or something.
Stereopticon?
Mm-hmm. No, it was just a piece of cardboard.
I see.
And I think only one person, and he was not one of the shopkeepers. I don't know why he was, I guess he was just disagreeable anyway. But he was the only one who was opposed to the idea. And then when I started building, I worked down there, it was fascinating. Started working upstairs at Bayless's when it was down beyond where Lorraine Child lives there. And, well, almost the museum on the mill pond.
I see.
But then as soon as our building was finished, we moved into it. It was, well, it was high tide there for several years. It's Jones, the electrician, well, he has appliances and things now. And we, as the store was finished, overnight they moved the grocer in. So they didn't lose a day of business, really. I mean, it was hectic for them, but they... And then the butcher shop was finished, the butcher moved in, and so on, up the street. And every time they finished another unit or something, Horace Fulford, who used to be the, he was an Englishman, who used to have the, be the golf pro at St. George's, and he lived over by the grist mill, but he had the liquor store in what's now that, oh, that baby store next to High Tide, what's it called? Anyway, he'd come in and we'd have a drink. We'd celebrate. They put a tree up on top of the building so Mr. Fulford would come in and bring us all a drink. Which was fun.
Yeah. Yes, I remember when they got the roof pulled, the ridge pulled up on my house. I was told that the custom was to invite all the neighbors, give them a drink, along with the people who were building the house. Well, I've got pictures of the crowd around the big tree.
Oh, no.
Well, it was nice.
Well, we did it here. We didn't have the neighbors in, but we gave them all, I don't know, beer or something that afternoon, all the workers.
Why do you think he gave the land to the university?
Well, I guess he didn't want a more Strathmore-type building all over the place.
No.
I don't know.
I've gathered that from...
Well, he just, he owned it and had no other use for it, and he didn't want it to be just developed, cut up into Levitt towns. And I think he thought that the university would be an addition to the community, because he didn't anticipate it ever becoming as big as it is.
No, I know that. I know the specs changed.
Yes. And I'm glad he didn't live to see that hospital. That would have... It's earthquake-proof yet. It's earthquake-proof.
Well, I hope so.
I hope so if I'm ever in it again, but...
Huh. Well, I think at the end, I remember speaking to him one time in New York City. He was then in a wheelchair.
Yeah, well, he could still walk perfectly well, but because he was blind, we couldn't have him jumping around and bumping into things.
Right. But I told him that while it wasn't as he had planned it, the institution was meeting the needs of the state and serving a broader need than he had originally conceived of.
Yeah, well, that was the trouble. I mean, and then, of course, when they didn't do anything in Georgian or early Republican or anything kind of architecture, and that distressed him a bit, but he got over it. He was adaptable. He had a good sense of humor.
Yes. His saying that the best investment he ever made was the $2 he spent for a marriage license.
Well, that's true. She's still going strong. At least mentally, she's not physically too... table, but...
I really ought to interview her. I think I should.
Well... Between now and Thursday?
No. What would you add to what I've said? And how does it strike you?
I think it strikes me fine. But...
I'm going to say something about the... about his gift for friendship. And the kind of people that he started off with at the VIP. Frank Abrams, for instance, of Exxon, chairman of the board of Exxon. People from Abrams came from Southold. Quite a long list of people.
Well, I didn't live here for 40 years. I didn't know what he was up to half the time.
Right.
I knew that he had that group, but didn't. It was called the Round Table or something. I used to meet at the Round Table, that restaurant. It's now where Harbor View is, as I understood it. I don't know what it was. But I knew this group.
There was a large table in the sitting room where the fireplace is.
Oh.
They're taking that out now.
Yes.
But that's where we used
now,
to be.
Now they meet over in the corner of the sandbar.
Yes.
At least I've seen Desmond and Willie Manoose, and I've forgotten now. I don't know many of them, but... Bill Manoose? He was Willie Manoose when he was an acolyte at church.
Yeah.
I don't know who else that group consists of now. I think Duke Shea is supposed to be one of them, but he hasn't been able to come much.
I haven't seen him. How is he?
He's all right, but he's not well.
I see. Judge Tom.
Oh, for their sake.
He comes. Bill Crawford.
Yes.
Was Ward ever president of the Consolidated School Boards? He was president of the Setauket School Board.
Yes. I don't think so. I think that happened maybe even after he died. Or at least he was out of it by then.
Out of it by now.
He was on the school board for 20-odd years, I know.
And that was the Setauket school
board? Setauket, yes.
Right.
And I don't think there was a Three Village school board.
Was he involved with the building of the Main Street School?
Yes.
In what way?
I think he did it.
I see.
I'm not sure, but I think he did it.
Responsible, for instance, for the murals?
I've never been in it. I don't know anything about murals, but I suppose he would be.
It's kind of a story of the Indians.
Oh.
In the early days.
Well, I know he loved those two, the two wooden figures on the end of the building there, facing each other outside. It's kind of a U-shaped building among,
yes,
facing each other. There's, oh, it's somebody like Benjamin Thompson and the old Setauket family, and I've forgotten who the other one is, but they were taken down a few years ago, and Mom finally insisted, I think paid to have them, I don't know, repainted and put back up again.
He had a real interest in history.
Yes.
In collection, did you know Richard Gibson?
Oh, yes.
Dick Gibson?
Dick Gibson and Roger Wentworth.
I see.
His other half, whatever you want to call it.
Yes.
They lived in the house that...
Crawford's have?
Yes.
Right. Did...
Dominic Farr.
Did they influence him in any way to start collecting either the mounts or collecting the carriages? Or did he have the ideas beforehand, you know?
I really don't know. I know Dick Gibson collected a lot of them. I mean, went shopping around and got a lot of the things. The mounts.
I see. That must have been exciting to do that.
Yes. We have just about, well, the Metropolitan has a mount and a couple of other people have them that we know about, but that's about it.
I think there are two mounts in the Chicago Museum of Fine Arts on Lake Michigan.
Well, that could be, but we really have pretty much everything that's been...
You cornered the market, so
yes. Well, he lived there in the corner house and... And he bought that house, and he bought the Thompson house, and he bought the Brewster house, just because they were old houses and belonged to old families around here.
Do you know the difference between Suffolk Improvement Company, Ward Melville doing business as Suffolk Improvement Company, and North Suffolk Management?
That was something that Bayless Manuse engineered. I never understood what it was all about.
The management?
Yes.
Yeah.
When I was working there, it was Suffolk Improvement.
I see.
But I don't know.
I think there was a distinction between the purchase of land and the purchase of buildings and the renovation of some of the old houses.
Well, it could be. So I say, I didn't live here for 40 years, Carl. And
right.
So many things they didn't bother to mention to me. I mean, we had other things to talk about when I was here or so forth, or in the city. And they just kind of assumed that I knew these things. Ruth lived out here all summer for several years, when her children were little, and she probably knows more about, although she probably didn't give a hoot, I don't know. I would have been interested because I'd worked for Suffolk Improvement and so forth.
Yeah.
But, Ward Melville, DBA.
Mm-hmm. When I came, very shortly after, he was then chairman of the Suffolk Industrial Commission and had me put on the commission.
Oh.
So I sat in on meetings at which he presided. I remember that. And was on the commission for quite a while, up until 71, when I retired from the university and thought that probably I ought to get off and have somebody else from the university
mm-hmm.
represent it.
Who is now? I mean, who took...
I don't know.
Who took your place?
I don't know. I'm that far away. I'm not too close to the university. But... who was... well regarded. I think the business community looked up to him.
Well, he'd done very well in business. Of course, I think the poor man would like to have been an architect, but being the only son of a shoe man, well, he had to be a shoe man.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, he certainly had a an aesthetic sense.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry that the way the university was built violated that.
Well, it probably suits your needs better than what he had envisioned, but still.
But it doesn't have to look, didn't have to look that way. One or two buildings are all right.
What does this behavioral science building look like?
It's dark, kind of maroon-brown building. It's about 4 or 5 stories high. It's somewhat like a block with architectural changes so that it doesn't look like completely like a cube. It's satisfactory. The graduate buildings, you know, in chemistry, physics, and math, have some interest, but I think I've been out to San Diego, University of San Diego, California, and their buildings are light, like concrete, of one kind or another, sometimes bluish, sometimes a little greenish, but on the whole, they're well done. And they're right along the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
So it's
different kind of climate than out here.
Oh, much, yes, much. Much. The only thing that I think is missing in the way of a building is a building for the humanities. They are scattered from hell to breakfast.
Oh, no.
English is off by itself, farther away from the library than biology, the early biology and chemistry people were. Why they put the sciences closest to the library, I don't know. But philosophy is in old physics, religion in old chemistry. The languages are in the library.
Oh, no.
And sooner or later, the library's going to need that space. And if they're going to put the building anywhere near, they're going to pull them together and put them in the same building so they can talk with each other. You're going to have to go up if they're going to be anywhere near the library. I think that's a piece of unfinished business.
Yes, it sounds that way.
Yeah.
But the state isn't interested in giving them more money to do all that, are they?
I'm going to have to get a different governor.
That's all right with me, too.
Yes.
Oh. What are they doing at Sunwood, if you know?
I don't know. I don't know whether they've gotten the green light to do anything or not. I don't even know whether anybody is drawing plans.
Oh.
But I can certainly find out.
Well, I'm just curious.
Well, I'm curious too. Find out.
I went there, it was still burning actually, Sunday morning.
I must have been up. I was in Florida.
Well, it was a shocker. Audrey DeRusso, Audrey,
yes.
Thrasher, came by here just to see how I was doing. It was only 3 weeks after Jim's had died and so on. And I said, well, I'm debating going over to Sunwood because it burned last night. She said, oh, it did? Let me take the dog home. I'll be right back and we'll go over. So we went over and Of course, the university police were all over the place, and I had to explain to them who I was a little bit. And this guy was listening over my shoulder. It turns out he was a reporter from Newsday. Well, he wanted to know if I didn't have any reminiscences of Sunwood. I said, I left here when I was 3 years old. And you never came back? I said, of course I came back and visited my grandparents, but that was it, or something. He followed us as far as we went toward the front door, and he decided he wasn't going to get anything more out of us. So when we turned around, he turned around with us. But then we went up in the garden, up on the porte cochere level, so we could see better what had happened. And he left us at that point. So the next day in the paper, this elderly woman, oh, no, he was mad at me, you know. And, well, let's face it, I am elderly, and Audrey is grayer than I am. She's a lot younger, but she's grayer. And so, but he was mad at us, and he didn't write a very nice story.
Reporters, well...
Okay.